Introducing DBM, the premium AV distributor, bringing the highest quality video and audio to your clients. Here at DBM, we pride ourselves on providing customizable bespoke packages and invite you to join us through the entire process, ensuring a truly personalized experience. Our highly trained, experienced team members will ensure a seamless installation with support always at hand. Your journey to elevated AV integration starts today with DBM.
Hello everybody and welcome to The Integrated Home, the podcast that's produced by the Home Integration Community for the Home Integration Community. My name is Jeff Hayward and today we're on location at a project deep in the Surrey countryside to bring you the inside story of a fantastic cinema installation in the company of Daniel Lee from MediaMax and Barry Sheldrick from DBM. Welcome to The Integrated Home. Danny and Barry, welcome both to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks.
So, first of all, describe who you are and who you represent. Barry, you better go first.
Hello, everyone. It's me again. It's Barry Sheldrick. I'm the sales director at DBM, a leading distributor of high-performance audio and video solutions with a real B2B focus supporting our custom integrators. And I am having a wonderful time with my friends, Jeff and Dan.
Excellent. And Daniel, MediaMax.
Yes, Daniel Lee, director of MediaMax. We are a custom install company that work on exciting, different projects. So if you want something a little bit out there, a little bit more bespoke, we're your people.
Very good. Okay, and this project that we're talking about, we're on location at this wonderful house that that you've worked on, Daniel, for many, many years. So just tell me a little bit about the house for our listeners.
It's a large country house in Surrey on quite a lot of land. I was brought in pretty early, so the clients moved in they've been living here for about a year after I came on board. There's not really been much we haven't touched here. There's lighting, audio, the internet, heating, security.
Lots of different challenges. And it's like it was an original house with a major extension. And from what you were telling me, the client sounded like he knew he wanted to really up the technology that was here from the very start.
Yeah, when we first got here, it had been attempted to be upgraded, but badly. So nothing really worked, not just technically working, but layout as well as electronically. So our objective was not just to make things work again, but to reposition things to make the layout work better as well. We've pretty much touched every room, brought it up to standard, and the client's very happy.
Very good. Okay, and the initial brief for the cinema room in particular, which sits in the extension area. So when the client said to you, I want a kick-ass cinema room, how much did he develop that brief before you delivered what you delivered?
He came to me and said, look, I want a cinema room. What do you need? So I went to...
What do you need?
Yeah. So I basically went to Meridian and said, look, what size room do we need? Because we have got a blank canvas here. So I think we picked on a number 10 by 6, I think we worked it out to be. We had to shrink it down a little bit because it has to have a house on top of it. So we had to work with architects on that one. It went from there, really. So he came to us, said, look, what size room do we need? We went to Meridian and started speccing the room from there, really.
I mean, it led really on from, you know, here's a demonstration of what's possible.
Yeah.
This is the sort of performance that you're looking for.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, what's better than this?
Yeah.
And that's where it kind of, the design service kicked in and we really started to... create this absolutely epic space. I think spec creep is probably the way to describe this one, but it's great because it pushes the boundaries of what's possible. At every stage, it was about how is this adding performance, not why is this adding cost. And that's a really key thing. The cost can be justifiable if the performance is there. And I think that's something that everyone can learn from. You're doing a client a disservice if you're not offering the very best. If you're not telling them it exists in the first place, that's really unfair on the client because you're delivering something that's below what they could have.
Yeah, and to have that client that comes to you with a kind of blanker than blank canvas really is very rare. That doesn't happen often, does it?
Yeah. so there was a lot of backwards and forwards with Meridian. So basically, we got the room layout, well, the room sizes pretty much nailed down. Once the architectural drawings were done, we actually finalised the room size. We then gave the custom installs.
Design team.
And it was backwards and forwards. So we obviously got the first three drafts through of the design. And then I think we then focused more on the projector. So then when the projector came back and we thought, right, let's go for the Prometheus 3, we then thought, well, we've got pretty much the best projector that Barco offer. Let's get the audio the best that we could possibly make it. We then came up with the Altitude 32. It was like, there's 32 channels here.
How did that happen?
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly the thing. It's really important when you start to build these systems up. We always strike to have a kind of 50-50 split of the overall budget to be 50% audio, 50% video. So when you raise the bar on what's possible with the projection side of things, and this has happened a number of times actually, then the audio comes in line, or vice versa. You know, if the audio spec is truly magnificent, then the projector has to match that, because the experience is sensory. It's both, you know, optically and visually and audibly and centrally, because, you know, the amount of energy we've got in that room, you really feel this system. So it's not uncommon to see that bar just raise, and actually clients get it because they want to have a balanced system in the first place. But yeah, that kind of in this system, the audio was so good that that drove up the projection discussions. And then when we decided on the projection system, the audio stepped up another time, yeah.
And it's really difficult to sell a system like this, let alone buy a system from the client's perspective, unless you hear something. So you took the client up to Meridian's HQ, didn't you,
in this
project?
Yeah.
What was the thinking there?
Well, they were buying their first pair of speakers. We actually went up to Meridian. And I think that's where the love of the brand started. So they witnessed not just obviously the facilities they've got there, but obviously the way things were made, the love and care that went into the products. So I think when they got back to site and we started to discuss their first pair of speakers, and it just so happened to be a set of the 8Ks that were going to go in their lounge. And I think that's where it started. Once we took delivery of those and they started listening to them, they thought, this is quality. With technology, it's easy to go forward and not appreciate it until you go backwards. So I think what they found was, is at the beginning, there was like, we don't need this. I don't really listen to sound. I want the picture to be amazing. But now they've been introduced to really, really high quality audio. When they go to their friends' houses or they go to the cinema, they think, oh my God, what are we listening to? So it kind of happened from there. So it's tumbled into each room. So it's like, we've done the lounge, let's make the dining room really good. We've made the dining room really good, let's make the snug really, really good to every room, basically. So in their bedroom, in their ensuite, it's all Meridian. They've been introduced to high quality audio. I think the love affairs started there. So when it came to the cinema, it was a no-brainer specking Meridian, because they just knew that they were going to get that level of quality throughout.
Music to your ears, bearing that?
It is, absolutely. It's cunning, very much intended. I think, the thing is that we often hear as a manufacturer and as a distributor is, I'm not sure that I can hear the difference, or I'm not sure that I can see the difference. And I totally understand that, because not everyone is quite so geeky as Dan and I, and we're not so into those things. But when something sounds right, when something sounds natural, correct, you don't question it. And that instantly changes the perception. So the different approach that Meridian has to audio of creating a sound that we like to listen to, you don't need to be taught that. You know how people sound, you know how piano sounds, you know how a guitar sounds. So when they're reproduced in front of you in that exact way, you go, that's a person, that's a guitar, that's a piano. And so a tour of the facilities and seeing what we do and why we do things really opens the mind of a lot of people, because it's not geeky, it's not a hi-fi place. This is, we're making something that sounds like real life. You can have whatever, whomever in your home, in any room, and it will be like they're there. That's a much easier thing to understand, rather than how many watts is it, What frequency response does it have? Is it this resolution or that resolution? All of those are mute points. It's, this is real life and I believe it and I want it. And I think that's where the factory tour really kind of cements that, like, okay, this is what we're getting into now.
When it came to the cinema room as well, I kind of got the sense from talking with you earlier, Barry, that it sort of started a conversation where the client wanted more than he was even able to experience in a brilliant reference cinema.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we built the system at that stage, you know, we'd put a lot of effort into the design and we thought, yeah, this is awesome. You know, this really is an amazing experience. You're not going to be able to better this. And then when via Dan we get the, well, what's better than that?
And we go, well, I've never really thought about that. How could we make it better? And, you know, typically people that know me know that better normally is more.
So we started to look at, okay, well, how could we do more than 3 8,000s behind the screen? Well, we could do 5. Can you do 5? Well, yes, you can. There is the ability to have left center and right center channels. So yes, you can. And, oh, by the way, if we did that and we put another pair of 8,000s in there, that's another 2 subwoofer channels for the LFE. So that's another chunk of headroom in this system design. Okay, so that's a legitimate reason to do it. Let's design that up. Let's see what that looks like. Let's propose that. That's valid, makes sense. Let's go. And then obviously you've made the front sound stage so much bigger. You know, we have 320s as overhead channels. Mm. Fabulous loudspeaker. Doesn't do 117 dB like a DSP640.2 does. So we put those in the ceiling because that additional headroom that you have, another 10 dB pretty much over what we can do with a 320, means that it's totally effortless. That whole system can do the absolute smallest micro detail and the smallest, quietest nuance in any recording. And then it can make you soil yourself when John Wick's shotgun goes off and out of nowhere, you know? So you have that full range of like the subtlety, the smallest details, that immersion, that involvement, and then these huge dynamic peaks, which are significantly above the required standard of 85 dB plus 20 dB plus 3 dB headroom plus another 3 dB on top of that. You know, this system really does have headroom for days.
There is one problem with it, this cinema. Mm. It ruins every commercial cinema. You just can't go to a commercial cinema anymore because it just sounds bad, it looks bad.
I mean, it is quite something. And I think what you were saying at the start about if you want MediaMax to do something where you want something that's a bit pushing the boundaries out of the ordinary, and it feels to me like that is exactly what you've done. I mean, certainly on the audio side of it, I've never been in a cinema with 32 channels quite like that.
Yes.
Yeah. And when you were designing it, did you think you had enough space to do the 5 the front stage?
I always had the utmost faith. We were a little bit nervous about the ceiling, obviously a lot of weight going up there.
How did you put all the in-wall speakers in the ceiling and still keep them there?
A lot of reinforcement. There's a lot of MF bar up there.
And a lot of teams to hold them up, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that's not a one-person install, is it?
No.
Not at 17 kilos a pop. Yeah. Unless you've got Eddie Hall on staff. So, yeah, I think that's going to be a couple of guys for that, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's nice as well because obviously we did everything. It was bare walls when we were here.
Yeah.
But obviously we just did absolutely everything, so the client knew exactly what he was getting. We could keep him updated. It was all in-house.
I mean, I would say, you know, from my side, the fit and finish of that room is absolutely incredible. Yeah. I've not seen something with that level of attention to detail, that level of execution. You know, the team have done an amazing job of, you just walk in and it feels special. Yeah. And then you look around and you see all of the small details, you know, having LED track running through the door that's then hinged open so that the LED lighting around it is symmetrical. That's just a very damn thing. You just see it straight away and you're like, that's the sort of thing he would do. Yeah. I'm sure it was incredibly challenging and on top of all of the other things that have been done in the project, but you see it and you look around it and everything is fabulous. And that, I think, is a real credit to.
Well, there are some lovely, neat touches, which we'll come on to in a minute. But one of the interesting challenges I'm sure you faced was soundproofing in here. So putting those big speakers in the ceiling, that's great for the experience in the cinema. But what's up above?
So above, we've got the client's office. And he's in there quite a bit.
And you've got a family here, so the kids could be watching something while dad's working.
Yeah. So, that's exactly what's happening. The idea was we had to try and soundproof it as much as we can. So we try to seal the room up as much as we can could as well. So in the ceiling, for instance, it's two layers of soundproofing. Well, it's the 15 mil plasterboard, so very heavy. Two layers of that, 18 mil plyboard, and then sound MF, and then sound insulation. But we've had to double everything up because of the weight. So we've got obviously the weight of the speakers, the weight of the plasterboard, and the weight of the plyboard. So it was challenging. It took a bit of time. And then, for instance, the front stage, that's ply-lined as well. We've had to build a stage for the speakers to sit on as well. So that's all ply-lined and insulated underneath. We've actually carpeted that room as well with soundproofing carpet. And it's also got the sound treatment on the back wall to try and propel as much sound forward as we could possibly do. And then the walls, we've actually built off of the wall. So the walls are finished plastered. We've then built internal walls and soundproofed that, so that it's not actually touching the back wall to try and keep that reverberation on the inside, not the outside.
And the experience in the room, of course, you don't want it to be completely dead. You want there to be some feeling in there, don't you? So how did you work with Dan on the DBM team?
Yeah, so, I mean, we've got a couple of cinemas under our belt now within the design service. We've designed and helped integrators deploy systems in the UK and also globally for a number of years, so we have a lot of experience in acoustics as well. So the thing we always strive for is to have a really good balance of reverberation time. If you have too little reverberation time, the room's just dead. It really kills the acoustics. It's very difficult to create a big sounding room when there's no reverb time in there at all. So like the anechoic chamber is a really good way of showing what an overdamped room can sound like. But then also you don't want to have the room too live, because then you start to lose intelligibility of the speech. So we've struck a really nice balance with recommending where the material should go. And again, you know, when a room's right, you could walk in there with your eyes closed and you just, you know, straight away, you know, we can hear in this area. Like in the lobby area where we're having the podcast, it's a totally different type of acoustic environment. As soon as you walk into that room, you know that it's a special place. And giving the confidence to an integrator to say, hey, look, it's a big room. There's 32 channels in there. This is what you need to do and it'll sound great. And then they go, okay. And then they go over and above by making the room as sturdy and as rattle-free as possible, because that's another big challenge. And then you end up with that result. I think that confidence that we empower the integrator with is really key. And one other point as well, you've got, on this room, you've got double doors, not just into the room, but into the projection booth as well, which is just a detail I absolutely love, because, you know, we've got a big DCI projector in there that makes, you know, a reasonable amount of noise, 55, 60 dB, something like that. So double door between that area, double door between this you know, this chill out space before you go into the theatre, it just feels really special.
Yeah. And that must have been reassuring for you to have that support, that actually this is going to work. This is what we need to do. It's all right.
Yeah. No, it was good.
And the projector, I mean, that's another story, right? So I have seen projectors that are big. That is huge, that Prometheus projector.
You know, it's a big projector when it's two boxes. Well, it's three, really. One is a massive telescope of a lens. The other is a sizable chassis of a DCI projector. And then the other is an external cooling pack for said projector. So, yeah, I mean, this is an absolute beast of a projector. I love how it's been installed.
Well, let's come on to that, Dan. Yeah. So how did you get that into that room? Because I've walked down to this basement. It's not possible. So go on.
It was hair-raising. Before the staircase went in, we had to rig a crane system up on the second floor. Okay. That was the anchor point, and we had to winch it down through the staircase.
So the building didn't really exist?
Yeah, so the building was a shell. The one concern that we had was, obviously, we got the building watertight, but obviously we're in a basement and all the water travels down to the bottom.
Indeed.
So the sump pumps aren't ready yet. So we got it down into the basement and then we put it on crates to keep it up. So if there was any water, it was away.
So there's this box sitting in the basement, having been craned down there.
Yeah. 300-400 kilos worth of rather expensive projection system. Yeah.
No pressure.
No pressure. No pressure. Yeah. And then it just sort of sat there.
I was coming to site every day and coming down here, stroking it and saying, are you okay? It was an experience, but it was fun.
And this all happened before we went into pandemic in this country.
It was probably a couple of months before that happened. So yeah, we got the projector down, this site actually shut down, and it got to the stage, I can't even really, like, COVID seems like a distant memory. I can't even believe we actually went through that now. So everything just slowed down. So, you know, there was no moving the projector then, because, you know, it was four people to move this thing. So if one person is down by themselves, it just can't move. So it just happened to be a very expensive workbench for 2 years.
Wow.
Well, the funny thing actually we haven't talked about is the speakers. There's five of them and they're over 100 kilos each. Normally that would be the biggest talking point, but...
Did you have any issues getting them in there?
It was good. So we actually brought them down in stages because we actually had a pair on site in storage. So we got those down and we actually rigged them up to a 218. So we had a little bit of audio, had a bit of radio whilst we were working.
Nice.
So yeah, we had a pair of 8Ks as our site radio for a couple of months. But the other thing that was quite cool about that is because we had a 218 set up, as we were going around doing the speakers, we was testing the speakers. So when the speakers went in the wall, we were using those as a stereo pair. And then when the rears, the sides, actually testing them as and when they went in.
It's a much more fun fluke tester, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah.
It's funny, Matthew and I were getting videos and pictures from Dan. And it's weird because we'd seen the plans, obviously, we were part of that whole design process. And then when you see it come together, you go, no, he's actually doing it. Mm. There was almost a part where the speakers that went in the ceiling, they don't get put in the ceiling very often because they are quite large. You know, 640s are 17 kilos a pop and there's six of them in there plus three front heights.
Yeah.
There's a part where you just, you know, this is actually happening, isn't it? Yeah. We just see a pallet disappear from the back door of the factory. See you later, pallet. See you soon. The demand of the project was taking a lot of project through because that was after, you know, when we were in the supply chain fun of post-pandemic stuff too. So yeah, we were building them as quickly as we could. But obviously, there's a process for everything. It's got to be tested. Got to be listened to. All of those things. So it was definitely. After a brief pause, it was full speed, yeah.
And 32 channels equals huge amount of rack room.
For normal people, it could do, Jeff. However, yeah, I mean, the rack room's super cool. You know, the Trinov's 3U and we've got two 271s to give us 32 channels, and that's 4U. So, you know, we're at 7U for 32 channels, multiple subwoofers. Yeah, that's it, yeah. Are all stacked on top of each other. Yeah. My favourite bit about coming down today was Dan saying, well, the next project, there's a 48-channel expansion for the Trenov, isn't there?
You're going to put more speakers in.
Well, the thing is that's raised the bar for us. You know, we need to do some changes and we're partway through doing some of those changes in our theatre at the factory now. But knowing that projects like this exist, I have to show people that, don't I?
Yeah.
Can't have a client with a higher spec system than the factory. I mean, we are going to have. That's just what's going to happen. But, you know, that raises the bar. So we want to be doing that too.
And for context, how much smaller that cinema room is compared to your cinema in Huntingdon?
They probably square out similar volume, bizarre as that may sound, but just in different proportions. Ours is wider, not as tall. Mm. This one's deeper. But taller, so I think they probably volume out the same, but we don't have the width, so we don't have the ceiling height, so I can't have a screen as big as this because you know there's a ceiling and there's a floor. So there's always a challenge with that. When projects drive you on and push you to go further, that's the best thing. And also celebrating those successes. This is an amazing system, but you know, the first thing Dan says to me is the next one needs to be better.
And a labor of love for you, Dan, and this
is... It's one hell of a hobby.
I bet. I mean, the attention to detail I really love as well. You know, you've done some really neat things in there with the lighting. Do you want to just talk us through what some of those things are?
Yeah, so we've got quite a few LED strips. The idea for it was the fabric panels are a neutral colour. So the idea is the LEDs change the colour of the fabric. That's the route we were going down. So in order to do that, we've had to make every LED strip independent So every single panel is independently controlled via DMX lighting. So it's RGBW LED strips in there. And not just the panels, you thought, oh, if we're doing the panels, we might as well do everything. So the whole room can change colour to what they desire at the time. For instance, their relaxed scene is complete purple. So it makes the whole room just completely changes the whole feel of the room. Because obviously we wanted to make the room a usable room. So if they have mates around to watch like a football match or something, we don't want the room off, but we might want completely different feel to how a cinema is. So
sure.
Let's make it, I don't know, if their favourite football team's Chelsea, let's make it blue, you know?
Yeah.
I think that was another part that kind of informed the projection choice as well. Because if you go, I have a dedicated light controlled room and I'm going to watch films in the dark, that's one choice you might make. If you then say, and I also love sports and I want to watch that with some friends around with all the lights on. Okay, cool. Well, let's make sure we've got, my favourite word, more headroom in the projector as well. So part of the reason for going for this projector is it has a huge amount of light output. So when the client is watching football or Formula One or golf or tennis or boxing or otherwise, and they've got friends around, all of the lights can be on in the room. And the picture is...
It's amazing. It's still the same as if the lights are off.
Yeah.
And also the other one is the motion, so that the moving of like characters on the screen, like we wanted to try and minimise that kind of the lag of the person moving.
Yeah.
That's kind of eradicated with this projector.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of trail on the ball, sort of comet tail that you get on a football. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, exactly. That,
you know, DLP technology is superb for that, and it also gives you the ability to have like crazy brightness, amazing contrast, amazing colour. And again, you know, that, if we go right back to the start, that happened because the audio spec went up and the video spec went up and the audio spec went up.
Yeah.
So, you know, they all complement each other. And I think that's what gives it such a that duality of use, you know, dedicated cinema or absolutely the best place to watch sports. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I think also there's some neat bits you've done with the furniture. So you've got those kind of marble trays that you've
So it started out as almost a safety barrier. So we wanted to make it so obviously the seating wasn't in at the time. So we built the stairs and the stage, and then we thought, let's put a bit of an upstand so stuff doesn't roll off the edge. And then there's a design of love, really. So you look at it and you think, oh, they're going to put their tea on there, so let's put marble on top of it. So a lot of detail went on following the stairs and getting the LED in it to make it so it all followed symmetrical. Yeah, that was a labour of love, that was.
Sure. But
the client liked it with the LEDs. It's RGB, COB wasn't out at the time. So we didn't want to see chips. The actual chip. So the way around that is we actually made the profile quite deep, so the actual LED is stuck on the underside. Then you get another problem. I'm actually giving you too many trade secrets now. We stuck it on the underside of the profile, and then we actually put some frosted plastic tubing to keep it wedged up so it doesn't drop in the heat.
Trade secret there, eh?
Neat. What's the client think of it?
Yeah, he's thrilled to bits of it, and they all love it. They have movie nights now. Everyone that comes down and sees it is, you know, wow, like this is. They actually had a couple come and visit them, and husband and wife, and the husband had a really bad broken leg, so he didn't want to go downstairs. The wife went downstairs, came back straight away and was like, you need to come and have a look at this.
No, that's great. No, thanks, guys. That's fantastic cinema room. Thank you for talking us through it, and congratulations. Yeah, really, really great
well
job.
Done. Hats off.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daniel and Barry, for talking with us today. What an incredible project. You can find out more about the Integrated Home on Instagram at Integrated Home Pod and on LinkedIn at the Integrated Home Podcast. The Integrated Home is brought to you with the support of Distributed by Meridian, DBM. We support Together for Cinema. We are a Wildwood Plus production.
The Integrated Home supports Together for Cinema. Together for Cinema is an AV industry movement that designs and installs cinema rooms in children's hospices across the UK. So far, thanks to the huge generosity of manufacturers, distributors and integrators freely giving of their time, products and expertise, we've created 21 dedicated cinemas. In these special places, children, their families, staff and volunteers are now enjoying fantastic movie experiences together. We want to build more rooms in more hospices for more children. To do that, we need your help. Visit togetherforcinema.co.uk and find out how you can be involved to help make short lives that little bit better.